Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too, because where I am is Washington, D.C., at the Heritage Foundation on Capitol Hill, broadcasting live from the sixth floor of the Heritage Foundation, an organization I've been telling you about for a long time. I'm at the Heritage Foundation George Mason University Entrepreneurship and Development Symposium. That's a long word, which means there are a lot of really smart people working really hard to understand how we can grow and promote entrepreneurship on planet Earth, in America, in Europe, in developed countries, in third world countries, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the people who's doing that is Dr. Sami Desai. She's assistant professor of entrepreneurship and innovation at Indiana University. She's my new friend. She's our new Brain Trust member, and she's sitting right in front of me. Sami Desai, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Sami, now you're a young lady. Hasn't been that many years since you were a student in college.
No.
What made you decide to devote your life's work to entrepreneurship?
You know, it actually is something that it happened in a roundabout way. So I grew up in the Philippines, and I remember, you know, very clearly stages of political instability, and there were coups and revolutions and things like that. And actually, when I first started thinking about what I wanted to do, I was really interested in sort of learning and working on post-conflict economies. And so
your background, your life established you you had a perspective on people recovering from conflicts, like they would have in a coup in the Philippines, and how they recover and feed their families, and what that whole thing looks like.
Right. I mean, I had an interest.
Yeah.
And that's really what I was interested in. And as I really studied and kind of learned and lived that perspective, I realized almost instantly when I came across this sort of entrepreneurship, this growing entrepreneurship literature, that was the key piece that has been neglected. And, you know, for years, people have been talking about, problems in development related to instability or related to ethnicity and religion. And actually, if you look at a number of these places, the one common thing that they all have is a stunted, sort of unable,
some kind of an impediment, impediment to entrepreneurship. Whether it be lack of capital, whether it be ethnical issues, whether it be gender issues, maybe geopolitical issues, something like that.
Right.
And so your study is focusing on, and folks, this could be happening in flyover America.
Sure.
It's happening in Afghanistan right now. Mm-hmm. It happened in Iraq, and it happened in the United States after, say, the Civil War, right? And so these are things you're interested in. What causes that obstruction, and how do people deal with it?
Right, and also, how entrepreneurs behave and act across a range of conditions of instability. So whether that is, sort of social instability, or whether that's all-out civil war, the way that people behave is usually a response to the environment and the institutional climate that they're in.
There's so many things about humans that are alike. All humans like to laugh. They like to be happy. Basically, humans across the world are friendly. If you give them a chance to be friendly, they'll be friendly. But I wonder if you discovered a difference between one culture and another with their ability to rise above these obstacles.
And actually, that's something that I think I would argue is common to all humans, because you see people out there.
The survival. Is this the survival thing?
Survival. It's okay. Incredible.
So overcoming entrepreneurial obstructions drops them into the survival mode.
In some places, yeah. And, you see it across societies. The most poor are also the most entrepreneurial, and we just have to equip them with the tools they need to actually move forward and be able to save and make investments and get financing.
So it's part of the humanity. It's part of humanity, isn't it? And so whether – and let me say this, Sammy. There are plenty of small business owners right now in America who have got to make payroll today.
Yes.
And they're feeling like survival – they're feeling like they're in a struggle for survival. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not in harm's way physically because they live in America.
Right.
But in terms of professionally speaking, they're in harm's way big time. Mm-hmm. And so they're feeling a lot of the things that you're talking about in, say, third world countries.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So talk to us a little bit more about what you're studying a lot of things in other parts of the world. You've studied Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the process of getting started with Afghanistan.
I'm trying to.
Talk to us about what you found in Iraq.
So, you know, so one of the things that I think is really interesting and important is we don't fully understand how entrepreneurs and the private sector in general behave under conditions of conflict or emerging from conflict. So we have some idea, you know, we know, all right, when there's conflict, the private sector continues. We mm-hmm. also know when conflict ends, there's tremendous opportunity for the private sector to grow and flourish. What we don't understand is the how.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been really interested in trying to figure out what it is that people actually need to get their businesses started.
So you're saying if we could determine that, mm-hmm. when the conflict is over, so right. to speak, and things are settled down to some normalcy, mm-hmm. we know where to invest the resources, invest the words, the encouragement, et cetera.
And if we can figure that out, that'll be the strongest path to stability.
Any tips so far? Any inclinations?
Well, you know, I mean, there were some surprising findings, and I think we see them in a number of places, but they were surprising in Iraq. And when you think about it more, I suppose they're not. But the biggest one was that, yes, security is a problem. This was 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, security is a problem, but it doesn't actually stop people from doing what they're doing. What it does, because people have to survive, they have
right.
to eat, they have to feed their families. What it actually does is it imposes a sort of, you know, extremely high tax almost.
Mm-hmm.
So the burden that it puts on the business is it increases costs and it slows transportation time.
Mm-hmm.
It lowers.
It adds an extra burden on the visionary
absolutely.
Entrepreneur.
Right. To the point where it can be financially prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the actual effect of instability that people are afraid, you know, people are afraid for their lives
mm-hmm.
and therefore they don't engage in
right.
business. It's that they will engage in business to the point where it becomes financially or operationally impossible because of security.
And so when we come back, I want to talk to Sammy about if that kind of thing, what she was just talking about, if that becomes that power of humanity, of the survival thing, and then growing to entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial thinking, does that become a self-fulfilling prophecy for the country? Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.